sometime late summer or early fall, and he said he would love to, but just have to try to, you know, figure out a time when he and his wife both can make it. So you'd be thinking about that. Something I realized the other day, I think I told Penny this, you know, of course some of you may have seen it on the news, you know, where they put Facebook is now up for, you can buy stock in the company and everything. You know what, especially when it comes to religious circles, when it comes to people talking about the Lord, people talk about the Bible, people talking about religion. Do you know what Facebook actually is? It's the modern day Corinth of our day. Well, so everybody's got a psalm, everybody's got a proverb, everybody's got a revelation. Huh? That's what Paul told the people of Corinth. That's what Facebook is when it comes to Christianity. Everybody loves to state their opinion. And I can't tell you what opinions are like because it's not appropriate at this moment. Yeah, it may be true, but that's one truth I don't want to say out loud. All right, anyway, Paul, you want to start that? You got it started? Was it already started? I didn't mean for that to be on there. I'll have people that love Facebook that'll be all upset, but I really don't care. I really don't care. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 if you're following along. Now, I'm still on the sword of the Spirit. And before I even give you this first statement, I will say I stand corrected. And it's not that anybody came to me and said anything, but I said last week, I used a word that really probably is not the best word. I spoke of the Word of God, that is the Scriptures, the truth of God, the Bible, if you will, say it how you will. I made the statement that it slays. That's okay, but it's really not the best word. I believe the best word, after giving it some further thought, I believe the best word to use in reference to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit is that it conquers.
Yes, sir.
Not just that it slays. So I stand corrected. And if anybody said, I don't really think slays is the best word, you are right. It's not the best word. But we are on the sword of the Spirit. But I want to read the first, I'll read the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because here the Apostle Paul talks about, or it would be inferred, or it would be a part of the context, Paul here is talking about the Word of God. But let me just read here. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. I believe Paul was being ironic here, because he was being accused by some people of having two different ways of conducting himself toward God's people. When he's around us, he's really meek, really gentle. But now that he's away from us and he can write letters and don't have to look at us face to face, he's really bold. Now, you can see that as Paul would then later, in verse 7 all the way through verse 18, Paul speaks about this. So I believe he's using some irony here. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now let me just say by way of introduction, Paul would have preferred not to have defended his ministry. But he was forced into defending his ministry. Not as a defense of himself. Paul defended his authority.
Yes.
His God-given authority. He had far more authority than what I do.
Exactly.
He was an apostle. He was a person who physically seen the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his glorified state, that is, in Christ's glorified state, and was given this authority as an apostle. So Paul defended his authority against these slanderers, And that's what they were.
Yeah.
Slanderers. But the problem was not just their personal slander of Paul. Their personal slander of Paul had an ulterior motive.
Exactly.
They were trying to get at Paul's message.
Yes, sir.
They disliked Paul's message. They disliked the gospel the Apostle Paul was preaching. And that's usually what happens, not just toward preachers, but toward any believer in our day. Most personal slander has no basis in facts.
Yeah.
It's based upon the fact that they hate what we believe and hold to, therefore they want to put us down, thinking by putting us down, they can bring the message down. The problem is most slanderers are not very bright.
Yeah.
Because I have enough that I could be slandered about.
Yeah.
I have enough sin, David. They have all kinds of ammunition against me. But what do they usually do? They try to make it a personal thing over some characteristic that someone or some preacher or some other believer exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this happen with Earl. I found it happen about myself that people try to point out supposed flaws when I have thousands of them and they're not even picking out the right one.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I got thousands of flaws. They pick out something that's untrue. But what's the problem? What's their motive? Their actual motive's not me. I'm no threat to them. Am I? I'm not a threat to these people. You're not a threat to these people. What disturbs them is the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the slander starts.
Yes, sir.
And notice Paul, if you'll go back and read, we're not going to look at the passages. If you go look back and look, you'll find that Paul often says, we,
yeah.
we, right? Then he says, now I, Paul, myself.
Yeah.
You see that?
That's right.
Paul is taking this personally. But the reason he's taking it personally is because it was an attack against the Christ that he proclaimed.
Amen.
That was the problem. So their slander had this ulterior motive, and it was to discredit Paul's message. And if you want to take time later, you can look at it, verses 7 all the way down through verse 18. Their main thing was, but he's not like us. But Paul basically said, I dare not make myself like you.
Yeah.
Verse 12. Isn't it? For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You don't have to compare yourself to me. I'm not a good standard.
Exactly.
The standard is Jesus Christ. That's the comparison.
Yeah.
And of course, we all fall short of that personally.
Yes, sir.
But that's not the point. That's not our message. It's not about us. Our message is about Him. But then he said, in other words, he said, they talk about how when Owen Paul's here, he's like meek as a lamb.
Yeah.
But now that he's away and he thinks you have these supposed problems, now he's so bold when he writes his letters. He said, I wish I was there. I would be bold toward those who say we what? Walk according to the flesh. For, though we walk in the flesh, and you can't help that. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can change of that. Because that is the way God purposed for us to exist in this world presently, is in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Casting down. That would be the next phrase. Casting down imaginations. But before he says that, the Spirit of God moves him to interject this into his writing.
Yes, sir.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is fleshly.
Yeah.
Now, of course, here, Paul is not talking about immorality when we have it translated carnal. It simply means, of course, no one is using, there is no basis whatsoever for trying to use immorality as a ploy to bring people to Christ. Is there? Anyone who would teach anything like that is simply a heretic.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. He's not talking, but he's saying even fleshly weapons. It's not fleshly weapons, and we'll look at this in more detail later. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through God. Remember, the sword, that's what I'm zeroing in on, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember that it is the sword of the Spirit. It's not my sword.
Exactly.
It's not your sword. It's not one of, it may be our weapon, but where's the power of the weapon come from?
Right.
He says, for the weapons, well, no, I said that wrong. It may be a warfare that we are engaged in, but David, it's not our weapons. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here's what he means by here, this interjected. But then he goes on, casting down imaginations.
Amen.
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
That is our warfare.
Yes, sir.
That is where it's at. Is bringing the heart and the mind into subjection to the truth of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Now, first of all, let me say, this is not our battle or even God's battle against the world. The world is going to hell, and no one can stop it. It's going to hell. The world is condemned of God, and no one can stop it.
Yes, sir.
Our Lord did not even pray for the salvation of the world.
Right.
When he prayed for eternal life, he prayed for a particular group of people, and then specifically said to the Father, I don't pray for the world.
Amen.
I pray for those you gave me out of the world.
Amen.
So we're not battling against the world. This battle is not against the world. We're not trying to bring the world's thoughts into subjection. It is a battle against my own thoughts, my own reasonings, my own disagreements with the truth of God. That's where the battle's at. Most people think, well, use the gospel and win the world. It just won't happen. If you want to win the world, you're going to have to use something else.
That's right.
And that's what they do. And they use another gospel.
Yeah.
And they are winning the world.
Yeah.
But they're not bringing the world down. They're not casting it down. They're not bringing everything into captivity and every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's not obedience to Christ. It's bringing it into to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Now, first of all, verse 3. Let me just mainly deal with 3, 4, and 5, and I won't be too long. The problem is, what is long compared to? That's the problem. Well, it won't be too long. Yeah, that's all introduction. It won't be too long, but most people think, well, long's 45 minutes. That used to be when we had tapes. CDs go for an hour and a half, so there you go. I won't be too long. Think of it, verse 3. And I'm going to paraphrase, okay? This is what Paul is saying here. He said, now some accuse us of walking according to the flesh. What he's saying in verse 3 is, for though we live in this world and in these bodies, that's what he's talking about. And being in this world and in these bodies comes with it troubles and frailties and shortcomings. We're not talking about being doctrinally perfect. We're certainly not talking about being sinlessly perfect. That's not the warfare. The warfare is in the mind, for the mind, against the mind, to bring the mind to where the mind ought to be, into subjection to the truth of God.
Amen.
Now Paul says, though we live in this world and in these bodies with its troubles and its frailties, we do not war in a worldly fashion. That's what he means. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. Think about it. We don't war in a worldly fashion. We're not governed by self-interest. And I use myself as an example only because I don't want to use anybody else. I know me better than I know anybody else. But I don't know me like I ought to know me even yet. But I know this, the message I'm preaching has no self-interest with it. You can't preach this message and have self-interest, because the world, the majority of people, hate this message.
Yes, sir.
They hate this message. Paul is saying we don't use fleshly methods or motives. And I'm not going into all the fleshly methods and motives that are out there. There's one motive. There's one motive, yes. That is the glory of God. And there's one method. You know what that method is? The Word of God.
Exactly.
That's it. One motive, that's the glory of God. And one method, that's the Word of God. That's our weapon.
Amen.
That's our weapon. But we're not moved by the fleshly methods or motives. It is not a matter of having a commanding presence.
Exactly.
It's not what it's a matter of. There may be some men who preach the gospel, Joe, who may have a commanding presence, but that's not what it's all about.
Exactly.
But in religion, in so-called Christian religion today, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Having this commanding presence, or what? Impressive eloquence.
Yeah.
There are some people who can speak better than others, and that's just the way it is. You know, when God saves you and God converts you, He doesn't allow you to speak better. He just begins to allow you to speak the truth.
Amen.
That's what He does.
That's it.
And when God calls someone into the ministry of the gospel, to be a pastor, He doesn't enable that man to expand upon what he is in himself. He enables that person simply to try to declare the truth of God from the Scriptures. So it's not about impressive eloquence. And it's not about great powers of logic. There's nothing wrong with logic. But it's not about great... We're not trying to argue people into the kingdom of God. We're preaching the truth of God, and it is breaking down citadels. It's knocking down walls. It's casting down imaginations. Why is this so? The reason is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See that? Think of that. Pulling down, getting something and yanking it flat. Casting down imaginations. And sadly, that's what most of religion is based upon today. Even so-called Christian religion is imagination. Men dream up who they think God is. They make up who they think God ought to be, and then they force this on other people.
Yes, sir.
With commanding presence, with impressive eloquence, and with great powers of logic.
Exactly.
But our argument always must come from the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God. Here's why. Note, I've already read it, so I'll not read it again. Note, Paul has introduced military language.
Yeah.
Because it is a what? A war. It's a war.
Exactly.
He uses the word, or we have at least translated into our English words, war, weapons, warfare, pulling down fortresses.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. Or pulling down a citadel, or pulling down a castle wall. Breaking down walls and invading.
Yeah.
So we're not just breaking down walls just to break down walls. We're not just trying to break down walls. See there? You was wrong. That's not the point. It is to break down the citadel and invade the citadel.
Yes, sir.
And take within that citadel men and women's hearts and minds captive to the truth of God.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That is our warfare, and Paul doesn't even mention the weapons, but this is casting down imaginations. Now think of this. Paul speaks of a war and weapons. They are God-ordained and rendered powerful by God.
Yes.
To use anything less is foolishness, right?
Exactly.
To use anything more is a waste.
Exactly.
Of time and effort. True?
That's it.
That's logic. As I said, there's nothing wrong with logic, but logic must be based upon truth.
Exactly.
Now, if God has us in this war, and these the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, then the weapons God has ordained are good enough. You don't need anything else. And people say, well, but if you just added this or that, you would have more people. That may be so, but would their citadel be broken down? Would their citadel be broken down? Would they be taken captive? Are they becoming a slave of Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
Yes, sir.
Most people who profess to be Christians are not slaves to Jesus Christ. They're not. They're fans.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
And Jim mentioned it. It was tongue in cheek. They think Jesus is their boyfriend. They think Jesus is their buddy. They think Jesus is their pal. You know, the blasphemous statement, the old man upstairs. That's blasphemous. That's not quaint. That's not cute. It's blasphemous. We're talking about God Almighty ordaining weapons to accomplish the victory. And if He's ordained it to accomplish the victory, then if you use those weapons, the victory will be won. Now, if I go outside that, Joe, the victory still will be won. I'm just not going to see any of the victory. You see what I'm saying? The victory is going to be won. We don't need all this other stuff. Now, do I need to point out a few things? And let me give you the positive, and then you put everything else against that. Here's what we have as this assembly, whether we're at chapel, or whether we're here, or no matter where we're at, here's what we have: prayer, singing, and the declaration of the Word of God.
Yeah,
what more do you need?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's enough. Anything else is a waste of time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And sadly, people have added so much more that it's become entertainment now. So much so that there are those who hear the preaching of the gospel, but they wouldn't hear the preaching. They would move themselves away from that gospel if they didn't have all these enticements around them. We've seen that happen with people even in this local assembly. The simple worship of God and engaging in the warfare is not enough. Gotta have more. Now, we certainly, Ellen, we don't want less. But we don't need any more. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. They are mighty through God, and they will pull down strongholds.
Yes, sir.
They will cast down imaginations. They will cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and it will bring into captivity every thought to Christ's obedience. So again, Paul speaks of a war and weapons, God ordained and rendered powerful by God, meant for subjugation and submission. You know what those two words mean, don't you? Subjugation. That means you come under domination. You become a slave. If you don't like being a slave of Christ, you don't know what being a slave of Christ is. This warfare, these weapons are meant for subjugation and submission to the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to convince you that water baptism is the right way. I'm not trying to convince you that immersion in water is the right way. You know why? Because that's what the word means. There's no need for me to argue that. The Greek word baptized means to dunk, to put under, period. There is no place for arguing about that. And there is no place for arguing about any of the truth of God, but that's not our message. Our message is not about once saved, always saved. Our message is about Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He has done. That's our message. There are other things of which we speak. There are other things that we teach, but they must all point to Jesus Christ ultimately. His person, His work. Because remember, it is pulling down strongholds, these castle walls, pulling them down. It is casting down imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and not just for bringing down sake, but it is to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, if I've convinced you of how sinful you are, if that doesn't bow you and force you to run to Jesus Christ, I don't care how bad you think you are, that's still not the battle won. Exactly. The battle is, and the victory is in subjugation and submission. You submit to Jesus Christ no matter what the world says. Exactly. Now, you may not always submit to Christ. Why? Because you are still in the flesh.
Exactly.
And the flesh will often rear its ugly head. But nevertheless, because of the weapons of the warfare, we are subjugated and submitted to Christ. I want to do what's right. I don't care what the world says.
Exactly.
And by God's grace, I will do what's right no matter what the world does.
Amen.
Huh? No matter what the world does. What is the enemy here? Now, first of all, the enemy is us. It's not them. Now, yes, them are an enemy. They are an enemy. But that's not the context here. The enemy here, these strongholds, these people behind these fortified walls are not them out there. It's my own mind. It's my own heart. It's my own imaginations. So what's the enemies here? It is everything hostile to the truth of God. That sums it up right there. But let me give you a list. Not an all-inclusive list by any means, but let me give you a list. Human will. That's one of the things that's cast down.
Yes, sir.
Opinion.
Yes, sir.
Just leave that one alone. Theories.
Yeah.
Theories. We don't walk based upon theories. We're not believing theories. We're believing thus saith the word of God.
Amen.
It may be a theory to the world,
yeah,
but it's God's truth to us. I'm not trying to convince the world God's word is the word of God. God has to convince men and women his word is the word of God. I'm not arguing for the inspiration of Scripture. I'm not trying to debate those things. The human will, opinion, theories. And remember, these things are not from them out there. These things reside in here, in me. Proud reasonings. Proud reasonings. Speculative arguments. We all like that, don't we? But what if? You know what I mean? But what if? And there's another one I better leave alone. Proud speculative arguments. Pride. Pride. Self-righteousness. Self-sufficiency. I can do this on my own.
Oh, yeah.
No. You can't. See, the whole thing is, this is not you giving in to Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ coming in, mashing your walls to the ground, and conquering you.
Amen.
That's what this is about.
Yes, sir.
And he does it through his word.
Yeah.
As I said last time, if he comes to you in a dream tonight, he will tell you no more than what's in this word.
Exactly.
No more. We don't need anything else. This is the sword of the Spirit. Mason, why do I need anything else? It's good enough. It's good enough. Self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, human autonomy. I want to rule myself. We've tried that. Look where it leads us. It still wasn't true autonomy. But you know what I'm saying? Autonomy. Human autonomy. Emotionalism. We all got some of that in us. You know why? Don't we? Well, just don't you dare say anything bad about my mama. Well, your mama may have been a reprobate. Huh? And even if your mama was one of God's, he's the one that made her into that kind of vessel, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Not mama, not daddy. You know it. There are people who believe that any... Now, well, it could be men or women now. At one time it was young men, basically. But anyone who dies in the service of their country, especially if it's the United States of America... Oh, they're going straight to heaven. That ain't so. That's emotionalism. But that is what's preached from some pulpits.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that?
Exactly.
It's like being a patriot sends you straight to glory. No, it doesn't. Emotionalism. Self-determination. Self-determination. Anarchy. Anarchy. Listen, we're all anarchists by heart. We all hate laws and rules. And by nature, we all hate God's law. And the way some grace people, they claim to be grace people, talk, you think they hate God's law. And God's law is not the problem. We're the problem. My own anarchy, that's the problem. My hatred of law. You know it. When mommy or daddy said, don't do this, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to do this. Because we're all anarchists at heart. But God conquers that. God conquers that. We could go on and on and on. But I will give you the scriptural phrase for it. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it. Everything that is highly esteemed among men. That's what God's bringing down in me. And it says, notice, bringing down, casting down, not cast. It's still going on. You see. This weapon is still, I could say slay, it's still conquering me. It's still bringing my thoughts and my heart and my imaginations and knocking them down to the ground where they belong in the dust and seeking to honor the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus. Let me just give you the thing about these weapons. And these are not Walter's opinion. These things are either directly stated as a part of the armor of God or associated with it. I'm going to just give you three of them. First is prayer. But prayer is not trying to get God to do something. Prayer is acknowledging to God that unless He does something, it won't get done. That's what prayer is. Secondly, faith in God's purpose. And specifically when it comes to God's word, He said, my word will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it.
Amen.
Did He say that or did He not? He said that through Isaiah the prophet. I trust Him.
Yes.
Not me, not my eloquence, not my commanding presence, all 5'6" of it. It has nothing to do with that. Faith in God's purposes. And thirdly, and most importantly, because here it is, it's the Word of God. If you go outside the Word of God, we have no foundation for casting down a wall. We all like our opinions, don't we? We highly value our opinions. And sometimes opinions may be good opinions. But the only thing that really matters is the Word of God. You see, why do I believe in creation rather than evolution? Somebody said, well, the Bible says so.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's much more than just the Bible says so. The reason I believe in creation and that the Bible says so is because it honors my Lord, because He is the Creator.
Amen.
To deny creation and believe evolution is not simply to deny creationism. It is to deny the sovereign power and authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then you can take everything else that comes under that.
Yes.
Everything else.
Yes,
well, I believe in free will. Why? It's your opinion. You've got no basis in Scripture for it. And you could go on and on. But see, what does the truth of God do? It breaks down those walls.
Yes,
and it continually. I think, Mason, sometimes we try to erect those walls back again. I think we do. But you know what God will do? He'll bring the truth of His Word along again and just knock them right over. He'll knock them right over again. And every speck of rubble from that knockdown wall will still reek of pride. But it's still a knockdown wall. Because the truth of God is, it is, as some of the old writings say, you know, what do they call them? Somebody help me here. Where do they get together? Confessions of faith. Some of the old confessions would say it is the only standard of faith and practice.
Yes, sir.
It even means how I live, Mason. How I live. And anything that I live that's contrary to this, David, is contrary to the knowledge of God. It's one of those things in that list I read to you, which God is continually knocking down. Father, I pray as we continue here that it may truly be to the honor and glory of thy Son. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Paul, turn that off, please. Now, just a couple